We're going to continue our study this morning, liberty or legalism versus liberty. And we're looking in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. There it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just praise you. Truly, you are awesome. We thank you for the blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. We thank you for the privilege of worship, Lord, because you're worthy of all our thanksgiving and of all of our praise. And we thank you, Lord, for this life that you've given us, that we may serve you and share the bountiful blessings that we know through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for those in this service who are lost. I pray that you begin to convict them of their sinful condition even now. And that, Lord, they would come to you, would run to you for salvation. I pray for the saved, Lord, who are backslidden. For those who are growing cold. I pray, Lord, that you will draw them back. Begin to convict them even now. And I pray that every response, Lord, in this service would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I suppose the most precious organization on this earth that I'm aware of is the New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is special. It is special because it's the bride of Christ, and it's special because it's such a blessing to the believer. There's something about coming in this atmosphere and in this setting and joining together and worshiping that you can't get anywhere else. People can say what they want to about, I can worship God as well at home as I can there. No, you can't. I want to tell you, there's something special about worshiping and being in the company of God's people. It is just a tremendous, tremendous blessing. However, for years now, this tremendous blessing of the church has been endangered. And it's been endangered by what I would call somewhat of a legalistic attitude. Now, last week we learned that true legalism is when we try to gain God's acceptance by work, and we know that'll never work, okay? We'll never be good enough to be accepted by God. That's why we need Jesus and His righteousness imputed to our life. But there is a legalistic attitude of people that people tend to have about the preconceived ideas about the way a church should go. The things that should happen in a church. And when you take that attitude and you ascribe it to your spirituality, you can get in trouble. Especially when there's no scriptural ground for the attitude that you have. Okay? And the first thing I want to call your attention to is the appetite of this legalistic attitude that I'm talking about. Paul said in the last verse, we're going to start at the end and work our way back to the beginning, okay? Paul said in the last verse, verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. A warning. A warning. Now I want to give you a hypothetical situation. The picture here that he's giving is an animal's appetite, a voracious appetite. And I want to ask you to consider a lion. I'll give you a hypothetical story here. A lion that has marked his territory. How many of you watch animal shows? All right, you can tell who the older ones are. We like those animal shows, don't we? But imagine this lion as he goes around every day marking his territory. And as he's going around, he roars so that all may know this is my territory. You dare come into my territory and you're going to have to deal with me. See, that's the attitude of the lion. Daily making his rounds to ensure there's been no intruders into his kingdom. Ready to fight to the death anyone or anything that would dare enter his kingdom. But sure, as life would have it, one day an intruder enters. It's another lion. It's another male lion. And he enters and has not a clue that this is ground that has been already claimed by the king of that territory. And this lion, protecting his territory, spots the intruder, and immediately the fight's on. Immediately he begins to bite and scratch and claw and annihilate this intruder until he's absolutely wounded, defeated, and destroyed. That's what you get when you mess with the lion's territory. I want to give you another hypothetical story. Applying that atmosphere to church. An atmosphere where territory is marked and people are set in their ways. And it's church. They're glad. We're glad to welcome any newcomers to our fellowship just as long as they get in line and become like us. The territory's been marked. However, the newcomers don't quite understand why we do things like we do. They don't understand why services began at 9:30. They don't understand why we have Bible study before worship on Sunday morning. They don't understand why the music has to come from the Baptist-approved hymnal. They don't understand why we have deacons and committees. They don't understand why sometimes some people in the church clap while others don't. They don't understand why there are some who would raise their hands during worship and there are others that don't. They don't understand using the Baptist-approved version of the Bible, which we all know is King James. Not really. That's not even what I use, right? But you see where I'm going here. They don't understand all these things that we've marked off as our territory. And lo and behold, they commit the unpardonable sin and question. And our answer comes immediate as our territory becomes threatened. Our answer is, we do it that way because the Bible says so. And then they ask, they have the unmitigated gall to say, well, where is that in the Bible? And then it's on like Donkey Kong. One of the most disappointing things I learned as a young preacher was when I taught people things. And then they would ask me, where is it? And I would get in there, and it wasn't in there. Oh, but what? But we've done it this way. Our grandfathers did it this way. Our fathers did it this way. We do it this way. And our children are going to do it this way. And if you buck the system, you get the line. Sound familiar? Oh, it moves on and we come to the point where we no longer speak to them. It comes to the point where when we see them coming, we turn and go the other way to give them the cold shoulder. We began to move around and go within the membership and plead our case to other individuals in the church so that we can choose up sides. After all, you can't have a good battle without two sides. Then we move outside the church and we say, "Okay, Facebook friends." You ever seen that? Listen, if you're not going to talk good about your church on Facebook, don't talk about your church. Okay? But I say this because I've seen it. You know? "Okay, Facebook friends, here's the thing and here's what's going on. What do you think?" So when that's done, immediately the whole community knows there's an uproar at the church. Things are tough. They're fighting among themselves. Members are becoming discouraged. The tension's so thick you could cut it with a knife. The baptistry's dry rotting. Because the focus of the church has ceased to be about winning lost souls to winning the battle. No one's been at the altar for years. Nobody's friendly anymore. It's us against them till finally it comes to the point where the attacks are such and the coldness are such that there is a mass exodus. And when it's all said and done, the church is a shell of what it once was. There are some that would back up and say, "We showed them." The question you've got to ask is, was it worth it? Now, at this point, everybody's feeling a little uneasy, thinking there's something going on that I'm not aware of. No, I want to tell you, this is a privilege to preach this message at this point in the history of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Because as far as I'm aware, there has never been it's nothing but sweet fellowship here. But I want you to see, I do want you to be aware of Paul's warning, how quickly that can change. In a word that was never meant to be spoken, it can change. And you see, look what happens. He said, "If you bite and devour one another, you will be consumed by one another." Notice the beware there. Understand, this is written as a certainty. This is what happens when we allow biting and devouring in our midst. In 10 minutes, you can destroy what it's taken 20 years to build. That's why the warning is so great. That's why we have to be on guard. Because once the smoke clears from the battle and you look around and you see the casualties of war, some who won't go to church anymore because they know how those church people are and they were hurt and they're not going back, you've got to ask yourself, was it worth it? Others who have gone on to other churches, you've got to ask yourself, was it worth it? Still others who sit, soak, and sour, still in the church every Sunday, but they haven't cracked a smile since 1962. You gonna see what I'm saying? That's why we have to be, and I preach this, and like I say, out of love. But I want you to be aware of what Paul's saying and stand guard and not allow it to happen. Okay? God's church is too precious. God gave His Son for the redemption of His church. Do not allow Satan to sidetrack God's beautiful church. Instead of having a legalistic, my way or the highway attitude, there's another attitude that Paul talks about here. And it's an attitude that makes you smile. It's an attitude of liberty. And he shares with us the beauty of being liberal. Now notice I said the beauty of being liberal, not being a liberal. Okay? We've ruined a good word in society is what we've done, because now if you're tagged as a liberal, it's you're one who just throws to the wind all the rules and all the ways, and you're labeled as being one who's a supporter of abortion and supporter of same-sex marriage and supporter of gay rights and things of that nature. Oh, listen, if that's your definition of liberal, I'm no part of that. No, I don't even want to get close to that. But I do want to teach you today and encourage you to be liberal. You see, being liberal is marked by generosity. It's a giver. It's a person who wants to minister and serve others. It's a person who will not allow the selfishness of self get in the way. It is a person who's laid pride aside and exchanged all that legalistic mentality for the opportunity to be liberal in giving to his church, giving financially, giving in service, giving in serving others, giving in love. That, my friends, is what I want to be in Christ. How about you? That's where I want to go in Christ. But you see, I do want you to understand, God has given us this liberty. And Paul said, don't let your liberty be an opportunity for the flesh. An opportunity to mark your territory and have the attitude, I won't be treated that way. And no, an opportunity to you decide what kind of life you want to live, and it's my life, I'll live it the way I want to. No. But the liberty to love is what Paul's talking about. See, with liberty comes responsibility. And you have the freedom to be whatever you want to be. But I want you to grab this one verse of what you should be among the Lord's people. In the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus told His disciples, "By this will all know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." That's your responsibility. You know what? You have to love Me. You've got to. You know why? Because God told you to. And if you don't love Me, you're in conflict with God. But guess what? I got to love you too. Yeah? My desire, my goal for the church, and I think we're pretty close, but I'll be honest, we're not there yet, is to have such a love for one another that Satan cannot even begin to get into this place. Okay? To have a love. And I think we're knocking on the door that when people come in here, they can sense the love. I've told you before, you don't have to talk to anybody in a church to know what's going on in a church. You can sense it when you walk in the door. And you know, one of the most encouraging things for me as a pastor is when people tell me, "Brother Doug, I was at your church," and you can just feel the love. See, that's our responsibility, is to have that kind of love for one another. And beloved, we are accountable to have that kind of love for one another. See, with responsibility comes accountability. I want to give you another story of a young man. And this young man has been waiting for such a long time for his parents to trust him to step out there on his own. He had been waiting for that opportunity for dad to say, "Here are the car keys, son." He'd just been waiting for that moment. And finally the day came. He had his license. He had displayed a responsible attitude. And his father comes to him and says, "Okay, son, you can have the car tonight." And he gives him the talk. If you're a parent, you know the talk I'm referring to. Wear your seatbelt. Do not, obey all speed limits. Do not speed. And be home by 10 o'clock. If you're a parent, you can relate to this, right? You remember that first time you sent your boy or your daughter out And okay, I'm trusting you now. Don't let me down. You know right from wrong. Now you do it. You give them the keys and you watch as they pull out of the driveway. And they go off down the street. And there's this feeling that comes over them as they go down the street. It's a feeling of absolute liberty. You have given them the talk, but once they're out of your sight, guess what? They can do whatever they want to do. They can choose their party. They can choose their movie. They can choose their actions. They can do anything they want to do. And they're faced with a decision. Am I going to do what I know is right? Or am I going to exercise my liberty? Again, referring to, you know, Paul said, don't let your liberty be an opportunity for the flesh. As a parent, that's what we tell our kids. Don't let this liberty be an opportunity for you to do wrong. Okay? Have you ever seen that kid that's been put in that position where they go out and they just make all the wrong decisions? They go out and they're caught doing 55 and a 30. They go out, they go to the wrong party, have a drink at that party, and on the way home, they run in the ditch, tearing the car up. And it's when they come face to face, you know, with their actions, that they realize that accountability factor. I always find it interesting how kids respond when they've made those bad decisions. You know what they say? I didn't mean to. I didn't think it would end like this. I didn't think it would hurt anything. It's not my fault. That's the one I love. It's not my fault while the car's beating in shambles in the ditch. It wasn't my fault. Well, you were driving. Whose fault is it? My friends, it's then that a parent comes up and they find, their first question is, are you okay? And the child says, yes, Dad, I'm fine. And he said, no, you're not, because now I'm going to kill you. Right? And they become accountable for the responsibilities that they had in their liberty. I want to tell you, God's church is a precious thing. So much that He gave His only begotten Son for that church. And yes, I know that Jesus is the head of the church. But you understand we're the hands, feet, and everything else. We have been given the privilege, and not only the privilege, but the responsibility to nurture and to build and to edify the Lord's church. He has placed it in our care and said, now you are at liberty. Make the right choices. Serve one another. Love one another. But if you mess up, you are accountable. See, here's a scripture that always kind of scares me. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. He said, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me, and the little ones there it's talking about are believers, believers who may not be as mature as you, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. You know that new convert that you spout off to and you speak your mind to and your heart toward, and they leave because they've had their feelings hurt because of what I've said. Guess what? God says you are responsible. And you can't make that excuse. Well, I didn't mean it that way. Well, I wasn't that bad. Well, why didn't we just use our liberty and keep quiet and show them love? We're accountable for one another. We're accountable for one another. We are accountable for one another. You see, that's the beauty of liberty. And then I want to share with you the opportunity of liberty. It's an opportunity to love. See, here's how we're going to really put it into practice. I've been telling you stories and giving you kind of broad view. Here's how we put it into practice. You see, our liberty is an opportunity to love, Paul said. Instead of using it as an opportunity for the flesh, let's use it as an opportunity to love. And I want to tell you something. Regular, day-to-day love will not work in a church. You know why? Because regular, day-to-day love will fall short. For example, there are some places in town that I really like to frequent. There are places that, you know, that I do business with, and I really do like them. But I could go in there on the wrong day and they could abuse me, and guess what? I'd leave and never go back because I just really, really like them. You see, what Paul is talking about here, and it's really interesting, it's lost in translation and you don't get this, but in the Greek, you know what it says? It says, the love. Use your liberty as an opportunity for the love. A definite article there. It's talking about a specific kind of love. Not a really, really like, not a really, really enjoy, but a specific love, a God love, a agape love, a Bible love. You see, I want to tell you, you won't be in church very long if you're just loving on your level before you're pushed above and beyond what you're capable of loving. What we're talking about here is unconditional love, no matter the circumstances. Love that puts the other person before yourself. Love even when they are hard to love. Any of you ever hard to love? Now, I'm your pastor, okay? Saying that, you know, I probably know about a lot of you, right? I want to tell you, there are times that I'm hard to love. There are times that you're hard to love. There are times that Brother Michael's hard to love. There are times that Brother Ken's hard to love. There are even times when Brother Dale is hard to love. I know, that sounds way out there, brother. That's why regular love don't work. That's why we've got to have agape love. Agape love that I make the determination that it doesn't matter how you treat me, I'm going to love you anyway. It doesn't matter what you say to me. You come in and you're in a bad mood and I say, how you doing? And you say, what's it to you? I'm just going to say, well, I just love you. A love that goes beyond somebody else earning that love to God's love flowing through me to change the life of somebody else. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. When you see, the kind of love that takes self away. Do you know why people get their feelings hurt and run away from church? Because they're too wrapped up in self. When you get self out of the way, it's hard to get your feelings hurt. Do you know that? When you get self out of the way, it's hard to get your feelings hurt. When you get self out of the way and start loving no matter what, people are going to sit up and take notice. And not only are people going to sit up and take notice, you're going to change somebody else's life. That's the kind of love Paul's talking about. That I'm going to love you anyway. No matter what you do to me, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to love you anyway. You see, and you got to get that part right before you can get the next part. It's an opportunity to love with a godly love. And then it's an opportunity to serve. Oh, this just gets better and better. This just gets better and better. That word serve, the Greek is doulos, which means to be a slave. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Are you kidding me, preacher? You want me to be a slave to other people? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're supposed to serve one another. You're supposed to look out for me, and I'm supposed to look out for you. And it doesn't matter what else is going on. I have to have your best interest at heart, and I have to be willing to go the extra mile on your behalf. Can you imagine a church that every goal of every member is the well-being of everybody else? Can you imagine that? That's the goal. Where when asked, well, what do you think? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. I want to see others loved and served. Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to close. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Oh, listen, what do you want to be spiritually? What do you want to be? Problem with most of us, we have no spiritual goals. We're not striving for anything. But see, here's the thing. See, if you want to be great, whosoever will become great among you, let him be your servant. That's doulos, slave. And he didn't stop there. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And here's the really big one. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. That's what Paul's talking about here. When he says, you've been called to liberty. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now here's my question to you today. How are you doing living in the law of liberty? How are you doing with that? See, this is one of those messages. Like I say, folks, and you got to understand, I'm not preaching this because a lot of things are going on in the church and people are at odds. I'm not. But let me tell you this. If the shoe fits, wear it. There may be things going on I don't know about. There may be some tension going on that I just don't have a clue about. If the shoe fits, put it on. Okay? See, that's the idea of God's Word. That's why I get up here each week and preach to you. So that you'll take the Word of God, not because this preacher said it, but you'll take it as the Word of God and let God surgically apply it to where you are in your walk with Him. How are you doing? Loving your neighbor as yourself. We're coming to the point of invitation. If there's lacking there, you know what you do during invitation? You respond to God. You seek His forgiveness. You repent. You turn and you go the other way. If you need to respond in this invitation, if God's dealing with you, you need to respond. For the well-being of the church. Another thing. If God's dealing with you to be saved. You've never made a profession of faith. This can be the greatest day of your life. Because I want to tell you. Sometimes, you know. I've been preaching on love. And sometimes our love fails. But get this. The love that never fails is the love of Jesus. And He loved you so much. He went to a Calvary and was crucified. He died a criminal's death so that you could have eternal life. Are you saved? If not, this invitation's for you. It's God has brought you here today to make a profession of faith, to call upon Him as the Lord of your, as the Lord and Savior. Whatever your spiritual need is, rededication, salvation, church membership, I ask you to do this one thing. Listen to God and respond as He calls you to respond. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your church. Wow. Lord, it is such a privilege to be a part of Your church. May we never take it for granted, but rather may we be diligent and on guard against Satan when he plants those things in our heart that would cause us to treat one another with anything less than a godly love. I just pray, Lord, that You just give us the things that we need to love each other with a godly love. And not only loving each other, but Lord, help us to have a love for Your ministry, a love for our community, and a love for lost souls. We give You all glory and praise and pray now in this invitation, Your will be done in Jesus' name.